Mr. Mayor, I'm back.
Thanks very much. Kim, are you ready?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I am ready.
And do we have the assembly back on there?
One, for the most part? Two, three, four. I believe so. Okay, yes, we do.
Excellent. And Lisa, you're all set?
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. We're coming back out of recess. And at this point, I'd like to have the Pledge of Allegiance tonight, led by Assemblymember Patty Gilbert.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic of which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible,
with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much, Assemblymember Gilbert. Ceremonial matters, there are none. Could I please have a roll call, please, Kim?
Yes. Assembly members David Powell.
Here.
Dalrymple.
Present.
Gilbert.
Here.
Morrison.
Here.
Ryan Howe.
Here.
Decker. And Mayor Prasanka.
Here. Is there persons to be heard? I know that, Kim, we had Mr. Wilson. I spoke to him earlier, and he is asked to speak under the agenda item, which is the rescinding of the CARES Act funding to the school. He'd like to speak at that time. I know that we have an invocation tonight, and there was one other person, I believe, to be heard tonight, too. And
yes.
I believe that was Board President Angerman for the school board.
And also, actually, first up after the invocation is Keith Appleman.
Okay. So, Board President, School Board President Angerman, are you on the line there?
Yes, I am.
Excellent. I'm assuming that you want to speak during the CARES Act recension discussion.
That'd be fine if possible. Yes, please.
Absolutely. We'll give you an opportunity at that time. Mr. Appleman, did you want to speak now or did you want to speak at a certain item on the agenda? Mr. Appleman, are you on the line?
He was on the line. Yes, he should be on there.
Mr. Appleman, you may need to press star 6 if you are on your cellular phone. Okay, I'll tell you what, we're going to go ahead with the invocation and I'll come back to Mr. Appleman after the invocation. Tonight's invocation is going to be led by our Salvation Army leader, Lieutenant John Tolru. Sir, are you on the line?
I am, sir.
Please go ahead with the invocation. Appreciate it.
Thank you. If y'all give me a moment of your time. God, we thank you for all you are doing in our community and for the blessings that you bestow on us. We ask that as our local government meets to serve our community, that you bless the conversations, agendas, and items put forward this evening. May we as a community desire to honor you in all we do and bring forward your love and compassion through that which is discussed. We ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much. Mr. Appleman, are you on the line? Kim, I'm looking down through all the names and I just see a tablet. It's the only one.
He's on there and he's not, you're not muted, Mr. Appleman. Are you able to? I see that he unmuted himself.
Can you hear me?
We've got you, Keith. Go ahead.
Okay, sorry about that. My mute button doesn't light up.
No problem.
Okay, I just wanted to say a few words. I noticed last week that I saw in the paper where the assembly held a workshop in the Institute property, and I listened a little bit on the radio report. And, you know, I'm real familiar with that area out there. I kind of grew up out there. Anyway, I just had a couple thoughts about the development. I just basically wanted to agree with the residential development being the first phase of the of any development out there. and also like the idea of lot sizes and the range of, 20,000-25,000 square feet seems to be reasonable. You know, lots of, maybe 100 by 200 foot, approximately. Seemed like it'd be nice for Wrangell. It seems like most of the lots the city's put out in the past, at least around the community, combined with, trailer courts and, T&H are pretty small residential size lots. So I think that would be good. And I also think some commercial development down the road that's compatible with the residential development seems reasonable as well. One of the things I haven't seen a map or an aerial photo of the, proposed zoning groups, but one of the things I kind of strongly recommend would be maybe some type of physical separation between the commercial and residential area. And I know that may not be possible out there because, the beauty of that site is it is pretty open. There's the slopes are pretty gentle, but at least I would recommend a linear separation. I just wouldn't like to see residential development and then, a commercial development right in the middle of it. I just think that's some of the problems that we have in Wrangell currently, because it seems like one type of commercial development leads to another, and sometimes there's obviously some issues between those user groups. Also, the people that would be purchasing those lots for residential development will have certain expectations for that type of zoning, whether it's, uses, noises, common activities. And frankly, I think if things are mixed up too much together, it'll be a problem. So I guess I'm basically recommending some type of a linear separation. And, it is a nice size development piece of property. But, someone that grew up out there, when at least the original buildings were there, all the way from the north side to the north staff housing and then the school buildings and administrative structures to the south side where there was apartments. I mean, you could walk from one side to the other in maybe at maximum 10 minutes. So it's not like it's a major hardship to get around there. But anyway, there's just a few thoughts I had, and I talked to one or two of the other council members, and they just suggested I make my feelings known public, and I'd be interested in being involved with any future workshops on the development of that property out there. So that's all I had. Thank you.
Now, Keith, you shouldn't volunteer yourself for stuff, so we're going to be getting back to you for sure on that. So you've done it now, my friend.
I can say no fairly.
That's what Kathy says. All right. Listen, we will definitely get back to you, and I appreciate you coming out tonight and sharing your thoughts on that. Really do appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Kim, am I missing anything else under persons to be heard? We have two folks to speak under the CARES Act funding recension. Anything else?
Nope. Those are the only two other folks I have to speak under persons to be heard, Mr. Mayor.
Excellent. Thank you. Amendments to the agenda. Are there any amendments to the agenda? Seeing none. Thank you. Conflicts of interest. Assemblymember Gilbert.
Yes, I must declare a conflict of interest on item 13B, the CARES Act funds for the school district.
Okay, and your conflict is that you are on the school board and as such are in a governance role, and we've ruled on this many times. Patty, I appreciate you again coming up, and I will accept your conflict unless the assembly wants to speak out against that. Given your governance role, we will have you stand down during that time and join just for you in the regular gallery. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else have any other comments on that? Assemblymember Powell, do you have a conflict?
I'd like to also declare item on 13B. Since we're going to be talking about this money and stuff, my wife works for the school system, and also I manage two small businesses in town.
Okay. Neither are a conflict by our actual conflict writings. I mean, there's no direct benefit to your wife from anything that would not come to any other employee of the school district. And given that you manage two businesses, again, you are not voting on an individual matter that would benefit or line your own personal pocket, that these are general terms regarding businesses and expending funds, CARES Act funds in the community. So I see no conflict unless the assembly would like to weigh in on that further. I'm not seeing anything. Mr. Howe?
I also have to declare a conflict. I work for the school district.
Again, thank you.
13B, 13B, sorry about that.
13B, absolutely. Yeah, thank you again, Mr. Howe. Speaking directly to much of the same that applies to Mr. Powell, you will not receive a direct benefit from that item financially that would not be extended to any other regular employee of the school district. So I would rule that you do not have a conflict on this matter, given our guidance from our attorney, unless the assembly would like to address that further. And I'm not seeing anybody who would like to address it further. So thanks. Any other conflicts of interest? Seeing none. Consent agenda.
Move to approve consent agenda as submitted.
Second.
It's been moved. And Assemblymember Morrison, correct? Seconded
yes.
That?
Yes.
Thank you. Discussion? Seeing none, poll vote, please, Kim.
Yes. Assembly members Dalrymple?
Yes, I guess.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
David Powell?
Yes.
And Mayor Prasanka?
Yes. So, Bob, just I'm not sure what you said there. Just so, and this is like your second meeting, and I really appreciate that. So as we go through and call, first of all, you'll notice that the vote roll order will change consistently. You will not always be the first person. And that's so that everybody's voting individually. And the second thing, when I call the roll, each individual assembly member's name will be called out to vote, and the mayor votes last on all matters. So if you're not sure of something, please stop us. And then I probably won't know the answer, so I'll ask him to explain it to you. All right, so any questions about anything, please feel
free. Good, thanks.
All right, thank you. Moving on to Borough Manager's report, Lisa.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. If I could, the first thing I'd like to do is invite Captain Spray to give the COVID-19 report. It's just a verbal update report on activities of the EOC.
Good evening. So we have been working very hard on trying to get our risk assessment put together. I don't know how many of the board are able to or have heard of any of the echoes that the state have put together. It's put on by UAA, but they have one specifically for community government. And they've just recently put that one together. And they talk a lot about how it's going for other communities. The state had put out a risk assessment for larger populations. And so EOC member Jamie Roberts has been working diligently on putting this together, and we're very excited about that. We still continue to meet every single morning. And she updates us on the progress of her work, and she's putting together a fabulous piece with a lot of input from other communities, and brings it forward. We will be presenting that to the assembly here in early September. So that is one of our major tasks that we've been working on. Just to give a quick update for statewide numbers right now. We have 4,843 resident cases, 823 non-resident cases, and we have moved up to 36 deaths. Four of those, which will be announced today, which is our largest number. However, as Dr. Zink clarified, these people didn't all just pass yesterday. It is a cumulative thing that they look at, and it all goes back to a death certificate. And so just because somebody doesn't say they die in a car accident, and they were COVID positive, is it COVID that they, you know, had died from? And so they have to look at all the particulars there. And so they've done that. And so that number is kind of alarming for some folks, like, oh goodness, you know, four, which compared to other states is not that much. But for our little state, that was an alarming number. And so there was just some clarification, and there'll be some more information coming out regarding that and how those numbers are looked at.
Captain Spray, before you continue, just so that there's no confusion, are you saying that if somebody dies in a car accident and they have COVID, that's called a COVID death? Is that what you just said?
Negative, the opposite.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's where there's that clarification. Though the person does test positive, they want to make sure that folks realize that that is still attributed to potentially that trauma or whatever else. And somebody may have some other underlying health conditions, and COVID may be one of them. And so they go back and look at the death certificate to see where to put that. We do have a member in the community, Laura Holder, who had got together a group of folks to help support those people who are in quarantine, and really encourage those folks who are asked to be in quarantine, whether they're deemed close contacts or have just recently traveled, to make it as easy as possible for them to be at home. And she joined in our EOC meeting last week and just discussed what they were doing and how they were putting things together and moving forward to help individuals out. So that was great. I imagine she has information out there on Facebook that can be found to reach out to her, and if anybody is interested in helping folks who are in quarantine. And that's, you know, getting food. I know the grocery stores are delivering, but also, you know, helping people checking their mail or getting their medications, and, you know, or doing yard work. Not that it's great for yard work right now, but there's all kinds of things that we don't think about that are necessary. And so she has started helping those folks with that. There is kind of an overall decline in numbers for testing. And we kind of thought it was just Wrangell specific, but it's overall across the state. It looks like the numbers are decreasing for those who are seeking testing. We finally have good test supplies, and turnaround time is really good. And people aren't actually seeking testing right now. And rumor has it, that they don't want to be put into quarantine if they test positive, because, you know, that's an interruption on their daily life. And so I just really want to encourage folks that that's kind of the backwards thinking about this virus, that we really need to try to test and really figure out where this virus is and do our part in trying to stop it, trying to box it in as much as we can. So, you know, if we're out and about in the community and we are positive, we may not be feeling poorly, but we may share it to somebody, and in turn they get really, really sick from it. So just, you know, community members helping members, let's all do our part and seek that testing. Search is offering free testing every weekend, Saturday and Sunday, up at the clinic. They do a drive-through test from 11 to 3. And it is free for asymptomatic individuals. They do ask if you are having symptoms or feeling sick to please call talk to your healthcare provider about when to come in. Please don't come to the asymptomatic testing if you're feeling poorly. We are seeing some numbers throughout the state in our smaller communities, and back in late May and early June, we were worried about this. We opened a lot of our fishing, the fishing industry and canneries and such in the communities up north. And we had some very strict things in place for these people to come in and do all the work. And then there wasn't a lot of guidance for them when they go back home to their rural communities. And that's where we're seeing some numbers really pop up now, is in our real, our smaller regions up in the Northwest and along the Arctic boroughs. And I know down here close, like Angoon just had their first case reported. So it is being, it is getting into our smaller communities. So that is a concern for state officials or state healthcare. They're also seeing some clusters amongst the homeless populations as well. So just seeing the changes in spread. And we're still trying to get the message out to our younger population regarding, you know, our 20 to 40 year olds, just regarding the precautions that they can be taking to mitigate the spread. We have put in a request through the state EOC through a 213 form for 4,000 masks and some communications. There were some yard signs and stickers that were offered and some posters that were put together by the state that we sent around to city department heads and also to the school. And so that was put in last week for that information. So hopefully we'll be hearing what's coming our way. It's always a surprise. It's like Christmas. So we put in the request, and whatever is available in their warehouses is what we end up with. So that should be on its way. There's some masks, some face masks or face shields, and some, oh goodness, I can't remember right off the top of my noggin. So again, we will be coming forward with a risk mitigation plan in the early part of September, and more details to follow from Jamie Roberts on that. Am I missing anything, Mr. Mayor?
I think you got it. Would you just again remind folks, everybody who sits on the EOC, just so the community knows, and also just good for new assembly members to know?
Oh, absolutely. So myself, Dorian Spray, Jamie Roberts, we have Kim Lane, who is our PIO for the city. We have Carol Rushmore, Economic Development, and Kate Thomas from Parks and Rec. Kate and Jamie originally began working on mitigation plans and travel plans, helping folks put together critical infrastructure and a plan review. And they've kind of just morphed into other duties as assigned, which is great. And we also have Chief Tim Buness and Chief Tom Radke for EMS, fire, and also police department and dispatch communications. Mr. Mayor Prusunka joins us, and also City Manager Von Bargen as incident commander.
And Greg Meisner.
Oh, I am so sorry, Greg. Yes, Greg Meisner for Harbor.
I think he's on the line too. We'll
be transitioning to very soon.
He's gone. We've forgotten about him already. Thanks so much, Doria. Does anybody have any questions for Captain Spray regarding the COVID update?
I do, Mr. Mayor, if I could ask.
Go ahead, please.
Captain Spray, the face masks that you're getting in, are those single use, or are those the cloth masks?
They are single use.
Okay.
We've had a lot of complaints actually about the cloth masks. They don't fit well, and they definitely don't fit some larger faces very well either. So we've had a number of requests for single use masks, and so we put that request forward to the state.
And I've had a lot of comments on my Alaska state flag mask.
Very nice. flying in colors.
If I may, Mr. Mayor, also, I would just throw out that single-use masks don't have to be single-use. If your mask isn't dirty or soiled, I save my single-use masks and hang them up and let them sit for 3 days so that whatever is on them can die and then use them again. So just a reminder, you don't have to throw it away after every use.
I will point out that we do that on EMS, and the hospital also does it. All of their N95s are recycled because our country is still having a shortage of N95 masks. So they're still recycling all their masks, which is not a bad thing. Any other questions for Captain Spray? Lisa, do you have anything further on that?
I do, Mr. Mayor. I have a handful of things. I'd like to ask, I know we've got a lot going on here, especially with the number of people on the line for a couple of items, but I'd like to ask Cindy Crary from the Nolan Center just to give a brief update on two very important publications that came up out about exhibits at the and efforts at the Nolan Center.
Oh, sorry. Yes, before we move to that, Lisa, I was looking more. Do you have anything else on COVID?
Because I do not, Mr. Mayor. Do you have anything else on COVID? I apologize.
I do. I want to mention that today the EOC we had direction from the EOC to send a letter to the school. And in that letter, we basically highlighted that the EOC has not done any overview work of the school's risk mitigation plan. There was no sign off, and our mitigation workers, although participated in numerous meetings, they never actually reviewed. And we feel that the superintendent may have given the impression that the EOC had signed off on the plans and that we were comfortable with those plans and moving forward, that we don't have those plans and we definitely did not sign off on them. And the second thing I think that's important to know is that the school, we had offered to use the program that basically was developed by Jamie to put categorizations and try to quantify the various things within the community to come up with a risk. And we were told on Monday that the school is not using that. So really the EOC, although Superintendent Lancaster has participated in numerous meetings with EOC, we are in no way are we, or the city for that matter, saying that check, you're good to go. That we haven't done that work. We haven't been asked to do that work. And there's certainly been no check of approval from that committee of folks that have been dedicating themselves to it. I think we probably did far more work on our fish processing plant, in my opinion, from the time that I participated, than we have done necessarily on the school's plans. So the school is, and we have said to the school that this is your decision. We're here to help, use us how you may, but we did not, there's no stamp of approval on this moving forward. So I just wanted to clarify that because I've had several community members contact us, as have EOC members, saying that that the EOC had said we're good to go with the school. So that is not the case. We just haven't been involved at that level. So that letter went out today, and I'm sure is available for anybody who'd like to see it. So that's the only other COVID item that I'd like to bring up. Lisa, do you have anything else on COVID to start with?
No, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Then move on. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut off Cindy there, but I just wanted to keep that in order.
Certainly. Cindy, are you still available to just give a brief comment on those publications?
Yes, I thank you for giving me just a minute. I'll be very brief, but I just wanted the assembly to be aware of just a few things. You probably saw the article in the paper, I think it was last week or the week before, that we celebrated the centennial of the New York to Nome historic flight, and we have a really nice display in the lobby that really highlights everything about that historic event. That was very important for Wrangell 100 years ago. So, and Caleb, by the way, did a really great job with the article in the paper. And if you haven't read it, please do. It's really great. And then also, these items will be in my report to the assembly that I will have for next time. And it's also in my newsletter, if you haven't read that. And then also, I think something that's just super wonderful right now is Gig Decker's article about the shipwreck. The Star of Bengal was published in the August 2020 issue. And it's, if you were at the exhibit last fall, Gig spoke and he did a wonderful job, and it's encapsulated in this article beautifully. It's really, really great. We have copies of this at the Nolan Center, and we have also put together a display above the Star of Bengal Dead Eye exhibit in as a permanent display in the Nolan Center. And so I would encourage you to come see it. We've made it really beautiful to really capture and highlight Gig's words that I know he's very proud of. So just wanted you all to know about those things. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you, Cindy. That's awesome. Any questions for Cindy? Go ahead. Sorry, Lisa.
No, that was my fault. The next really exciting thing I wanted to mention is that the gnome generator that was put into our powerhouse has fired up and run successfully. Now, that doesn't mean there isn't a lot of work yet to do, and I think Rod may still be on and can highlight this, but yay, we have another generator, we have more power, yay.
Rod, and, would you like to comment on that? Are you going to cheer as well? We want to hear you cheer like Lisa. Oh, we lost Rod.
So just to say our thanks to Gnome, and we will, as we wrap all this stuff up, be doing something far more formal as a thank you to Gnome for giving us the generator and all of these things. But my hat's off to Royce Cowan and the crew at Wrangell Municipal Light and Power for getting this thing going.
And Lisa, maybe just quickly highlight again for Bob, but also for the community, what is the significance of the fourth generator? Why was that important? What, you know, when have we had issues?
Well, so the Wrangell has had for years four EMD generators upon which we rely for power, roughly providing about 8 megawatts of power. We can get a little bit more out of it when we've got cold weather because the generators will run more efficiently when they're cooler. But at the height of summer, and actually more importantly, at the height of electrical consumption in the winter, when everybody is running heat and lights, if we were to have a complete power failure in terms of power coming over the distribution line from Tyee, and we would have to power the entire community, 8 megs is not enough. And so us, and it's certainly not enough if one of our generators were to go down, if one of our generators were to have a failure, we have no redundancy. And at that point, we would have to go to rolling blackouts. And so to have this fifth, actually we have a sixth generator as well. We were able to get two EMD generators, a 2.5 megawatt and a 1.5 megawatt from Gnome, and bring those down and are retrofitting them. And our crew, specifically under the leadership of Royce Cowan, our diesel electric mechanic, has been working tirelessly to get the first of these two generators up and running so that we now have some redundancy and some backup and some additional power. And for those that don't know, Gnome gave us the generators. We just had to pay to ship them down here. And in addition to the generators, they gave us about $125,000 worth of spare parts that they had as well. So this is just a huge significance to us.
Thanks, Lisa.
You bet. Okay, Mr. Mayor, I'm just going to quickly go through some other things. In more exciting news, as was indicated tonight, Our harbor master, Portland Harbor Director, what's his name? Oh, Greg, right. Greg Meisner is unfortunately departing here at the city. And Steve Miller has been offered and accepted the position. And so upon Greg's departure, he will be promoted into the position of Portland Harbor Director. And so we're excited to have him as part of the leadership team here at the city. And I believe Steve's on tonight. Steve, you're welcome to say hi very briefly if you'd like to, or not, either way.
You just unmuted. Go ahead, Steve.
Hi, Steve.
How's everybody doing? this is Steve. So I'm going to say hi to the council and mayor and look forward to working with you guys.
Welcome aboard on your new position, Steve.
Thank you.
So, Mr. Mayor, I wanted to let everybody know that the RFQ for the water treatment plant was finally approved by the Economic Development Administration, and it will be out on the street as of Thursday. So that our RFQ, our process for the engineering and design of the water treatment plant is moving forward. The public, as Amber indicated in the work session, the public safety building evaluation is scheduled for the week of September 14th. So that'll be coming up in the next couple of weeks. The collective bargaining team is scheduled to have its first meeting for collective bargaining on September 8th. So we are moving forward with that. The Armory building divestiture following the relocation of Capitol facilities to the Wrangell Municipal Light and Power building. The plan for that divestiture schedule will be on the agenda. That report will be on the agenda for the 8th of September. So that information will be coming in very short order as well. The RFQ for engineering for the water mains replacement project is closing this week. So we just wanted to let the assembly know that. The investment committee, including Assemblymember Morrison and community member, former Assemblymember Jim DeBoard, and staff met this last week in our first meeting with members of Alaska Permanent Capital. And so we'll be coming forward in the near future with some recommendations to the assembly. And the APEI loss control credits, those are things that we can do as an organization to help reduce the cost of our insurance premiums with APEI, have changed somewhat. And there are some new guidelines for employee training and safety that have to be done. And so we will be looking at those to make sure that we are able to maximize those credits and reduce the cost of our premiums as much as possible. Additionally, APEI has announced $100,000 of coverage in our general liability insurance policy. This is a coverage enhancement for organic pathogens liability. I'm going to let you guess what that's related to, COVID-19. And what that really means is that if somebody were to, if a member of the public were to suggest that by participating in or by coming into a city building or a facility that they had been exposed to or gotten COVID-19, our general liability policy now includes this $100,000 coverage. And I guess we're supposed to feel better about that. I'm not sure I really do, but anyway, I'm letting you know that there's been a change to our coverage. This is completely separate from workers' compensation coverage for our employees if something were to happen while they are working for us. So, and I think lastly, I wanted to let you know, I will be taking Thursday off. So I will not be in the office on Thursday. In case anybody needs me, please call Kim.
Could you please update the, thanks for that, Lisa, lucky Kim. Could you please update item C, 7C, Valvoida versus CBW for the community?
Mr. Mayor, I certainly can. Let me get to that.